for us to stand that sustain us. And those five inner graces we saw in this passage are joy, trust, gratitude, peace, and contentment. And then last week, we looked at the benefits of prayer in our lives. The more we pray, the more these things are real in our lives. And those benefits we saw were moderation, no anxiety, gratitude, peace, and our thought life will be under control. All of these are benefits of prayer, and then these inner graces that sustain us. And so Paul now, here in verses 9 and 10, says, now that I've given you these formulas for living for God and for having a biblical prayer life, I want you to put them into practice, but I also want you to follow my example, Paul. Not mine, but Paul's. Notice verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So tonight we're going to talk about and being an example, like Paul said here. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would grow through your word tonight. And Lord, we would understand that it's not only our responsibility to live for you, but it's also our responsibility to live our profession, that we might be an example to other Christians. May we see that, and may we take that responsibility seriously. So use this passage in our hearts tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul here is saying it is biblical to be an example. It's biblical to look at a Christian's example if their example is right. And notice 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, if you would, where Paul, again, writing this time to the Corinthian church, says, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So he says, as long as I'm following Christ, I want you to follow my example. Be followers of me. And so it is scriptural to be an example, but it's also scriptural to, because we are weak, aren't we? And what we see and experience here on this earth impacts us a lot, doesn't it? And it's okay to follow the example of a godly believer. That's what Paul's telling us. But he breaks it down for us back in Philippians 4:9. And we're going to look at each one. He says, learn and receive. That's one category. Then he says, heard. That's another category. Then seen. So Paul is saying, I want you to follow all aspects of my example. And first of all, he says, the things that you've learned and received. And so the things that Paul gave them or taught them, they were to receive them and follow his example. Things like being a witness. They would have watched Paul be a testimony for Jesus Christ, right? And by doing that, they watched it, they learned it, they received it, and hopefully learned from the example. And of course, that's a command for all of us, isn't it? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He taught them through his example to trust God. And that's what the rest of this chapter is about, is Paul lived 100% by faith. He traveled city to city to city. He had no bag of money. He just lived by faith. Churches would sometimes help him. People traveled with him, but he lived by faith. And so he taught people through his example to trust the Lord in all things. People watched him and watched him trust God and how God provided all the way through his ministry. He taught them, be content with what you have, didn't he? He even mentioned that on down in the chapter, which we've looked at. Be content with such things as you have. He says, I've learned them. Whatsoever state I am, verse 11, therewith to be, what? Content. And so they would have watched that in Paul's life. They would have learned it, that Paul practiced contentment. Paul practiced trust. Paul practiced being a testimony. He would have taught them how important it is to forgive. Because many people turned their backs on Paul, walked away from Paul, and he would have shown them through his example to be a forgiving Christian, which we're all to be. He would have taught them to be generous. How many times in the scriptures did he tell us to be generous to our brothers and sisters, distributing to the necessity of saints? If you have any goods and your brother have need, don't shut up your bowels of compassion from you, but what? Let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:17 and 18. So Paul, first of all, he taught them some things through his example. He says, the things that you've learned and received. But then he says in verse 9, and heard. So also the things that you've heard about me, or that you've heard from me, follow those things too. Now they would have heard that Paul was a man of prayer. Most of his church epistles started off with, pray for us, and I'm praying for you. Paul believed in the power of prayer. And we know that. Look at verse 6, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Paul would have taught them, and they would have heard, that he was a man who believed that we should rejoice in the Lord always. How do we know that? He tells us in verse 4, doesn't he? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul was a man who would have, people would have heard that he was a man of gratitude, which again, we've seen that. Verse 6, and everything with thanksgiving. Paul was a man who would have kept his tongue under control. And they would have heard this. If Paul was a gossip, or if Paul used his tongue to speak evil of other believers, you don't think that would have gotten around? Of course it would have. But Paul never did that, because he believed that the scriptures say, speak evil of no man. And of course, Paul believed in honesty, didn't he? He says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men in Romans 12:17. So these are just some examples that people would have been able to hear and learn from the Apostle Paul's example. And then he finishes there in verse 9 by saying, and the things that you've seen, the things that you've actually seen. Well, Paul lived a disciplined life. How do we know this? Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. So Paul, people would have seen that he lived a disciplined life. People would have seen that Paul was a hard worker. We read in Acts where it says, as his manner was, Paul couldn't help himself. He had a witness. And he believed that we should not be slothful in business, the Bible says. Paul was a man who believed in faithfulness. He even wrote to Timothy, and it says, the things that thou hast heard of me and among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also, in 2 Timothy 2:2. So he would have been an example of faithfulness. He would have been an example of integrity and dependability, an example of kindness. And we could go on all night, couldn't we? The point is, Paul said, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, what does he say there at the end of verse 9? The key word, do. Amen? Don't just see these examples. Don't just learn them. Don't just hear about them, but now do them. And let's look at James 1, where we see that this is what God wants from us too. He doesn't want us to just learn these great truths from Scripture, or even learn by watching other people's example. He wants us to then put it into practice and do it. James 1, 21, or 22. Most of us know this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So as we learn from Scripture, and as we even learn from watching godly Christians, Paul says, do. The things you've seen in me, the things that you've heard of me, the things that you've learned of me, do. Look to verse 25 in James 1. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Look at that word doer. A doer of the work. Paul says, do. Do what you learn, either through the word or through watching godly examples in other believers. Don't just say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's how it should be, but do it. And by saying these things, Paul was saying it is our responsibility as God's children to be an example. Look at Hebrews 10:23 and we'll see this. Most of us know Hebrews 10:24 and 25, which talk about being faithful to church. But 23 is also very important. He says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." What does he mean by the profession? It means what we profess to be. We profess to be Christians. He's saying, hold that fast without wavering. Your life should back up your profession. And Paul's saying, his did. He got to the end of his life. 2 Timothy 4:7, turn there quickly. He got to the end of his life and said, he wasn't perfect. We all are sinners, but he never quit. He just kept going, kept living for God, kept being a godly example. And at the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4:7, he's about to go on the chopping block in Rome. And he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Wouldn't that be a good goal to be able to say that at the end of our lives? That I didn't quit. And I didn't quit on God. I didn't quit on my faith. I just kept fighting. So back to our passage, Philippians 4. Paul then spends the rest of the chapter, which we're going to look at next week, teaching us about missions giving. And that's actually the main context of Philippians 4. It's not these inner graces. It's not the power of prayer. It's missions. Because from 11 all the way down to 20 is about missions, or 19 is missions giving. That's the context of Philippians 4. And what Paul is saying is, I'm writing to you Christians and I want you to live for God. But I want all you churches and Christians to understand how important it is that we be excited about and that we get involved in missions. And if we will, then we can claim verse 19, as we'll see next week. How many Christians claim verse 19? But my God shall supply all your need. But they don't take it in context. The context, he's writing this to people who helped him in his mission journey. Financially, physically, even helped and traveled with him. That's the whole context of this section. And he's saying, because you have been faithful, notice verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. Your care of me. On down, verse 14, you communicated with my affliction. That word communicate means to give. Verse 15 at the end. No church communicated with me as concerning giving, receiving, but ye only. So he's saying to the church of Philippi, you gave to help me in my journey. Verse 18, I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. These physical things that you sent to be a blessing to me, this money that you sent, a sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You helped me on my missionary journey. And because you did that,